Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It was a nice birthday last week. Feeling great at 62. Yeah, you get better with age. We age great as we get older, some of us guys. I know Kip, my sidekick here, does. I do. So if anybody else says age gracefully, jump in on the show. You know, who knows? Maybe we'll get some George Clooney types coming through here. It's a Gross Misconduct Podcast hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend. He's in Phoenix. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, in Los Angeles. 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, catch the archive, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. And as I lay the groundwork down, put the podium in place, hand off the I don't want to say hand off the turkeys, but hand off the mic to you, Kip. First of all, the threes, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And boy, there's some comments coming in. I'll get to these comments with you as we get into the title today later on. Perseverance and Parity. Next Tuesday, we'll be giving our turkey awards.
Well, I'm doing great, Mark. Just got off the road, drove back here to Scottsdale, Phoenix area from Newport. It's a great day. It was a great drive. And KipGross.com is the website, and BeAGamer@gmail.com is how you guys get a hold of me. And, yeah, let's have some fun today and have a little turkey day with it. Sounds like a good plan.
Okay, brother, as we get into it, let's get into a little football here. You know, a lot of people think, you know, and I could be wrong on this, with Ohio State beating Michigan, I'm going to ride Michigan. I just think they do two things right, and they know how to run the football, and they know how to get physical. And those two attributes win you a lot of football games. I know Harbaugh is not going to be around on them sidelines, but that's okay. This is a team that's going to manhandle this team. I think Ohio State, to me, is this smoke and mirror team that's going to come into Ann Arbor. And this quarterback doesn't remind me of the quarterback that they had last year that's been, you know, having fun in the NFL this year, C.J. Stroud. But it's an Ohio State team that's going to really look at their playbook, Kip. They have been out-manhandled on their running game of Michigan. I think Michigan outscored them 340-something on the other side. So you're not going to win many football games. I know they're last-second type of a team, but physical and running the football, I'm going to hang my hat on the Wolverines to take these guys out.
You know what, Mark? I'm going to go right with you on this with Michigan, just because they just look unstoppable. I don't care about any suspensions for Harbaugh. It doesn't matter to me. You know, the team is who they are. He's coached them up the right way, and his other coaches got them coached up the right way. And they're just dominating everybody for the most part. And even the close games aren't that close. So, and C.J. Stroud, yeah, he's another one of the Ohio State quarterbacks. And he's now the one actual quarterback from Ohio State that actually went in the NFL and actually looks like an NFL quarterback. So congratulations to him. But sorry, they don't have him again this year against Michigan, and I'm with you on Michigan. I'm taking Michigan, and I will give the 3 points.
I will tell you on this one with USC, I like Lincoln Riley a lot, and I think consistency makes people believe. I've always stated that. We do these shows, we're very consistent across the board. We're not wishy-washy. We'll stick with something. If we're wrong, we're wrong. If we're right, we're right. But I've always been behind the hire of Lincoln Riley. I know now he's been on the hot seat, calling them a fraud out here and everything, and kind of taking the money, and he's done nothing with USC. I disagree with that because, you know, he got rid of the defensive coordinator there now. He brought in another guy. I know they got beat by UCLA. To me, USC has done a great job. And, you know, whether people want to tell me Clay Helton is a better coach than he is, I don't know about that. I know Clay Helton used to pass out the chocolate chip cookies to everybody. But Lincoln Riley, to me, is a perfectionist. He'll turn this program around. I like this guy just like I like the guy Chip Kelly at UCLA. Any thought on these two?
You know what? I'm going to let everybody know. When it comes to sports teams, especially in the NFL and in the higher ranks of college football, coaching is everything. I mean, you got to have a good, solid coach that knows what they're doing, putting programs together, hiring the right assistant coaches, getting the right strength coach to come in, the nutritionist, all that stuff. The great ones, what do? They coach them up their teams, and they win. It might take a couple years when they get to a new program, but they do that. And it just goes to show you that a lot of these guys that get hired from, like, defensive coordinators or offensive coordinators, and a lot of them just can't go be the head coach because there's more on the plate what they were doing. Yeah, there's a lot of similarities to it, but at the same time, a Lincoln Riley, he's a proven commodity, and what's he going to do? He's gonna win in a couple of years. That's what he does, and he'll do it again.
Let me get to some of these comments because they came in earlier. Victor from Silver Lake chiming in. He says, guys, I've heard your show. You knocked the Dodgers and left and right. And when you look at your two small market teams, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, they can't even keep up with the Dodgers. Hey, if you get to the playoffs, that's considered a winner. Whether we win it or lose it, it's a crapshoot. Your teams don't get to the playoffs. They haven't seen it in quite a few years. Keep on trucking the Dodgers with Shohei Ohtani. Well, first of all, Victor, you should never drink and then try to chime in on this show. Happy Hour doesn't start in California for another few hours. So chime in after that. But I will tell you this, and I said this in the pre-chant to you, Kip, legends are defined by winning. If you're as happy as hell to get in the playoffs and you get knocked out and you say to yourself driving home that you're better than 20 other teams, so be it. But I would be practicing doing whatever it takes to get that ring next year. And I know the drive and desire you have. I'm going to give you the floor with Victor from Silver Lake.
Well, Victor, here's what I think about all that. There's just so many teams now that make the playoffs in baseball with all the wild cards. I'm a completely against, not against it, but I just to make the playoffs is nothing anymore. I mean, you buy a payroll, the Dodgers have all the money in the world, they have tons of investors, and they go and get whoever they want to get. It really is, to me, if they don't at least get past the first round, Arizona Diamondbacks, and Diamondbacks end up making the World Series. They got hot late, but a team like the Dodgers, you know, with all those players and all the salaries you have, it shouldn't be it's okay to make the playoffs. You know, I've always said if you make it to the World Series, you've done something. Because once you get to the World Series, you know, anything can happen. You know, the pitching might not be there that day or the hitting might not be there for a couple days, whatever. But to just make the playoffs and get beat by a wild card team early in the playoffs like the Dodgers did, I'm not buying it. You should be ashamed of your organization at that point when that happens. Don't get me wrong. I'm not just knocking the Dodgers. I'm knocking the Yankees. I'm knocking Boston Red Sox. All these teams out there like Washington Nationals who spend these huge payrolls. And we're going to talk about parity today later on. And that goes along with what we're talking about right now. You've got to coach up your teams. And for some reason, Roberts isn't getting the job done in L.A. Yeah, he's got the best winning percentage of all the coaches, head coaches or managers that ever been in L.A. But what's that getting them except a 60-win World Series or a 60-game World Series in 2020, which doesn't count in my opinion. But, there's so much more to it than just making the playoffs and going from there. So, Victor, I'm not on your side on this one. Sorry.
And, you know, when we get into perseverance and parity, that's a good point because, you know, Kip, if I was a Major League Baseball pitcher like you two, I'd be wired the same as far as, you know, I'm here to win. I know it's nice and we're getting good money here, but somewhere along the line, it's a pursuit of perfection to get this job done. And I can remember playing hockey, and if I finished second, it was a wasted year. And it is in that same realm of things with, you know, Major League Baseball clubs and National Football League clubs. And Victor, I will finish this comment on it. That doesn't sit well in cities like Green Bay. It wouldn't sit well in Pittsburgh with the Steelers. It wouldn't sit well with the Celtics. They want to get the job done. And if you can't get the job done, then there's going to be changes. And if you talk about changes, and we'll get that in the Angels, Kip, you know, looking at Erstad, who I thought maybe would get it, or my guy would, which I thought would probably get it in Anaheim. Showalter would get it. He, you know, but they brought in Ron Washington, and the first thing I noticed with what Ron did, he surrounded himself with a lot of winners there. You know, Chili Davis, Bo Porter, Clint Hurdle. He's brought in a lot of leadership there, and that he's trying to change the culture, and that's going to be interesting what goes on in Anaheim this year.
Yeah, that's what I've just been talking about. Coaching is huge in all the sports, especially when you get to higher levels, because you've got to have somebody to rely back on as far as a hitter. You know, there might be a couple of days where things just aren't going right. You go to your hitting coach and he says, well, you know, I've seen a couple things here and there. Do you want to go over them and go look at the film or the tape or go out on the batting cage and swing it? Just like a pitcher, same way. And these good pitching coaches, good hitting coaches, the good bench coaches, they all see things. And that's what makes a great coach, is they can see. You know, anybody can say, well, he's not hitting home runs, or he's not driving the ball, or he's not doing this, or he's not doing that. But can you see why? And that's what the great ones do, Mark, is they see it and they find out right away. They can see something in the lower half that's not working right, maybe a front hip's out of place or pulling off a little bit. They see it so they can help that hitter or that pitcher right away. And that's what you're going to see. I had Clint Hurdle for a manager, his first year managing in A-ball in St. Lucie, Florida. And I'll tell you what, Clint was his first year. He was not only a fun manager, but he was a player's manager. And, you know, he's put his dues in as manager all over Major League Baseball now. So what a great hire by Ron Washington to bring him in.
Yeah, and you know, the mindset over in Anaheim, as we'll get to some more of these comments, more or less is, you know, maybe people are going to just have to wait to see what happens on the outside. We know what the hell is going to go on the inside, because we're the ones that are going to be in the trenches with this thing. So it's going to be nice to see. Lance, our guy that always chimes in from Pensacola, Florida, says, the South will rise in football. The Cowboys will win the Super Bowl, and the Georgia Bulldogs will win the college championship. Wow. Some things never change. It's going to change in college football, because there's some teams that can knock out Georgia, I think. I know Georgia, I think, has won 28 straight. But let's not kid ourselves. The Cowboys could be undefeated at home, Chris. Lance. But, Kip, you know as well as I know, this Cowboy team cannot match up with the Eagles and some of the higher echelon teams in the NFL.
Lance, I just got one word or a couple words for you here, and it's going to be a little surprising to you, but Groundhog's Day is all in your language. That's what you're coming up with. It's the same teams for you every year, and of course, you're a fan. You're going to say you're going to be in the Super Bowl. I don't know how many times I've heard friends or true Cowboy fans say, "Oh my God, we're going all the way this year. We're going to win the Super Bowl." I mean, what was the last decade they played and won a Super Bowl? I mean, it was back with Troy Aikman, wasn't it, when they had all that dynasty with all the draft picks. I think they had 10 draft picks that got that team where they were. But you know what, Georgia, I'm not going to say, Lance, that they're not going to do anything, but that's a long, hard road in the college football ranks, and anything can happen with a one loss, just like the NFL. But Cowboys, you know, every time I think of the Cowboys now, I think of Tony Romo fumbling the snap. It's every time I think of the Cowboys, that's what I remember.
Yeah, and
Tony
Seattle.
Romo is a really good quarterback, but you know what? When the chips were down, he couldn't get it done. And just like right now, when the chips are done, their quarterback can't get it done, and it's just a growing theme every year for the Cowboys. So, sorry, I hope they go far for you, Lance, but I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, you know what, Kip? Just to follow up on that, some of these teams are just living off a tradition, and their fan bases are more fanatical than the team itself. I mean, you're right. The Cowboys haven't won it in quite a while. You look at some of these fan bases, and it's just like it's unbelievable. And I've been going off on the Dodgers, and you know as well. I they haven't won anything. They've won it in the bubble, but you take them out of the bubble, and they haven't won anything since 1988. So, you know, I just think some of these teams just live off a tradition. Got to look in the mirror, and you got to change the perception of that. Maybe, you know, Prescott's not the answer, and you got to go out there and get a quarterback. I know who they can probably use right about now to solidify that running game would probably be Ezekiel Elliott, wouldn't you say?
Oh my God, yeah, he's that guy can. He just ran hard. He's a hard runner, and that's if you're a running back in the NFL, there's really two types of runners. Ones that are elusive and they go around you and under you, and then you got the guy like Ezekiel Elliott that just goes through you. And to me, those are the runners that wear down defenses throughout a game, and they end up making you a winner. You know, back with the John Riggins of the world, you know, he didn't go around. Yeah, they always do the sweep right, the sweep left, but he ended up taking people out. And that to me is how football should be played, and wear that defense down, because when it comes to that second half and fourth quarter, it's just all gravy. It's that 3 and 4 yard carry now, it turns into a 5 and 6 yard carry because the defense just can't stop you anymore because of that. So yeah, Ezekiel Elliott, wow, good runner.
Unbelievable. And the Cornhuskers. I know Pitt played last Thursday. They beat Boston College. The Cornhuskers in the mix of this thing. Hey, do you have a favorite out of this? I'm beginning to think if Alabama can slip into this, keep your eyes on Alabama, because I like Saban and I like the Rolling Tide there. I really think Alabama gets into this thing. I know a lot of people are thinking Washington, maybe Oregon. Texas is on the outside. That's why I can't wait till next year when we have this system in place, because there's going to be some teams getting rolled out of here. We could see the prognosticators, you know, even if Ohio State loses, kind of just slip a notch, staying in that top four. Could you see that happening?
You know, Mark, this year, of all years, is a great year to show the committee and NCAA why aren't we at 12 teams? Because right now we're going to have teams looking at this playoff, and everybody's got a bitch on their own saying, hey, we should be in this thing. Oregon right now, my God, what a team they have. They had one bad play during the game, and they had a loss. I mean, they were the better team that day when they made their loss. Yeah, all these teams you're mentioning right now, you know, Alabama, they lose early, and then they've been doing what they do every year, and sooner or later the committee's going to do what? They're going to vote them in. That's what they do. They want Alabama because ratings and everything else. You know, I've heard that when they go over these teams with the committee, they really go through them with a fine-tooth comb and look at everything. But to me, I still think they try to find the teams that everybody wants to see play, you know, and to get to the 12-team playoff next year is going to take care of everything, because you're going to have all your best teams. Yeah, you're going to have some teams that get left out, because I don't care how many teams you have. Somebody's going to get left out because it's at the bottom of the barrel. But I think this is going to be a great year for the playoffs, and it should be fun coming down. It really should be. Yeah.
Albert from Poway chiming in. He said, you guys need to do a show on mascots. The Oregon Ducks have the best mascot. And I don't know if the Nebraska Cornhuskers mascot is covering the whole state of Nebraska and Kip Gross.
Hey, you know what, Albert? I'll tell you what, Oregon really does. They got a really good mascot. But I'll tell you what, old Herbie Husker, out in Lincoln, it's pretty cool to see what they got around there. You know, you make fun of our corn husk and all that stuff. But tradition's tradition, and I'll tell you one thing, Albert, don't knock out Nebraska. Don't knock Nebraska football team.
Yeah.
Go to a game sometime and actually sit in those stands and see 90,000 people rooting for a 5-win team. It's incredible. It's amazing. I've been a season ticket holder over there since 1986, I think it was. And it's a fun thing to go to. By the way, the Huskers this week are playing Iowa at home. Iowa's ranked 15 in the country. We've got a 5-6 record right now, and the Vegas odds makers are making Nebraska 2-point favorites in this game. Why?
It's
going to be interesting.
And, you know, just to follow up on that, I had a buddy drive cross country a few years back. He spent a weekend in Lincoln. Hotels were cheap, and he couldn't figure out why. The guy at the front desk told him, the Cornhuskers are on the road. This thing is about four times the amount if they were playing at home.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
It's a fun thing back there. Yeah, prices are a lot cheaper. You can go there with half the wad in your wallet that you normally do when you go to some other these other cities to go watch football games. But the whole experience in Nebraska is where it's at. The fans are great. They sit and they wait till they clap when the visiting team walks off the field at the end of the game, win or lose. They clap them into the clubhouse and locker room, which is an amazing thing. So that sea of red at Nebraska is pretty cool to see no matter what, even if we've been really bad for as long as we have.
Let me take one more comment. We'll get into the perseverance and parity. Dalen coming in from Chelmsford, he says, I heard they caught the high school recruits that went through the Colorado locker room, taking the jewelry and everything. They had to return it. That had to be something. And what about your take on the Las Vegas Grand Prix? Well, I'll let
you know what?
First on the recruits and then the Las Vegas Grand Prix, Kip, and I'll throw a comment.
Yeah, the Las Vegas Grand Prix, I believe it's the first year they've ever done this, and it's a very, very costly thing that they put together, but it seems to have been a big, big success what they've done. So it seems like it's probably going to be a yearly thing, another event, you know, in Vegas, which is really, really good. And I think it's going to really work out from what I've heard from a lot of the fans. I really do.
Yeah, you know, I've been to the Long Beach Grand Prix for the first time, and that was unbelievable. It's like a Mardi Gras setting, and I could just imagine hit the slot machine as you're going 200 miles an hour down the Las Vegas Strip. But to get on the recruits, it's just stupidity with a capital S. You know, you're getting recruited and going to the locker room, and first of all, the Buffaloes should have at least put the thing, like you said, in the sock, give it to the clubhouse guy. But to leave it strewed out like that, and I just don't understand why a recruit or somebody would just absolutely take somebody else's property. But in today's world, heck, we got mob flashes taking, you know, stuff in store. So nothing surprises me today.
Well, Mark, you know, the one thing you got to think about when you're talking about football players, too, is there's a lot of these recruits that are coming from nothing. You know, they're in the smaller or out in the southeast or southwest, and there's not a lot going on, and their life is football, and that's where they're going to try to take it, is to get into college and get a scholarship. And you know, when they see that kind of stuff sitting in front of them, it's got to be tempting for some of these kids that are there. I mean, believe you me, I think a thief is one of the worst things on the planet. I really, really do. But when you have somebody that's coming from basically nothing, and they've got a one parent, you know, taking care of them for their whole life, and mom is working three or four jobs to support her kids, you know, that recruit sees, you know, gold chains. And what's Colorado been doing all year besides advertising gold watches and chains around their necks and everything else? I mean, in Bentleys. I mean, you're just inviting crews to come in and steal from you. It's what you're doing. And
leaving the door open. Hey, you don't even need a key. Just here's the door open. The party's all night. Do whatever you want. Unbelievable. Hey, perseverance and parity. I've always looked at perseverance as motivation, driven, setting the bar. You play with a lot of guys. You've probably learned a lot from coaches on this. But, you know, with the 7 minutes left in this show, perseverance to you, it separates the men from the boys, I would imagine.
You know, Mark, when I think of perseverance in baseball, I just think about, you know, how guys start out. They come from, I was just talking about guys that come from nothing. Well, you know, you go through the minor league system, and in order to do that, it's a huge thing. This last couple of years, I've been helping a kid that was a 10th round draft pick out of high school, and he ended up signing a contract because he took my advice to do it. But, you know, I told him everything there I could think of, the pluses and minuses of baseball and coming up through the minor leagues and what he's going to have to deal with. You know, he had a girlfriend back in high school. He's got to leave her. You know, he has a job that he was doing. He loved his job. Well, now he had to leave that job to go play baseball. He's going to be in some really bad towns here and there on a bus traveling, you know, and $11 meal money when I was playing. It's gone up a little bit since then, but it's still – it's a hard road. You're staying in a lot of motels and not hotels. You know, that pizza delivery from Domino's for, you know, 30 minutes is your lifeline some nights. Waffle House is one of the biggest franchises for minor league baseball player, Waffle House, because there's not much else open after your games are finished. So, the perseverance going through the minor leagues, and then to have to deal with winners and losers and trying to do your thing and having bad games, having ups and downs and dealing with all that. That's where the perseverance is. And then finally making it to the big leagues, and now you've got to stay there. And so you got to persevere through so many different things, outlets, because people are always trying to take your job from you. You know, you could be the best player on the planet, but you know, one quick little injury, you know, torn knee or a back injury like Kershaw has, you got to persevere through all those things and make it and figure it out how to help your team win again. So perseverance in baseball is like none other because of what I just said, the road trip to get there and then to stay there is huge. It's huge.
Well, not only that, it could be in an everyday job too. I mean, I can remember washing dishes. People go, wow, you're doing that. But you know what? I looked at it was they were going to give me overtime. They were going to take care of me. They really wanted me. And when somebody believed in you, you don't want to disappoint. You got to eat the food. The cooks would make you whatever you wanted. And then after a while, when they saw the overtime and everything and you were eating, you were saving money, people said, God, I got to get in this job. So it's unbelievable how people look at things. But perseverance on the road, whatever you do, just stick with it because good things are going to happen. Doors are going to open and people are going to notice. And that's exactly right.
Mark,
3 minutes and some.
I was going to expand on what I was just saying, that perseverance thing. After guys are out of baseball, especially the minor league guys, you know, they're always sought after because of what they go through in their lifetime to get to where their goal was to play in the big leagues. So many of them, tons, you know, the major majority don't ever get there. But there's people out there, they love to hire baseball players, ex-baseball players, because of what we're talking about right now, because they've done it. They've persevered. They went through the bad times and figured it out, how to keep going and going on, and they're fighters and they're winners. And so there's so many jobs out there that people want to hire baseball players just because of that.
Oh, it's amazing. And when I get up to heaven and God decides to send me back down, I'm going to go, can you clone me like Kip Gross? That's what I'm going to tell him. Hey, real fast, but parity, to me, I look at this like 40 guys in the outfield, and man, oh, man, I got to figure out a way to be just as good, if not better, than these 39 others. How did you look at parity in anything? And parity can be compared in sports. I know there's a lot of parity in the NFL, but somebody's got to sit these guys down and say, hey, guys, we got to separate ourselves from the pack.
Yep, parity in the NFL is there. The only problem is there's not enough quarterbacks to go around. And, they're all spending the same kind of money, but that's the problem with baseball. I've been saying this since I played. I used to sit in the players' meetings, and we'd sit there and we'd talk about the money issues and how much guys are making, and they never want to have a salary cap. Well, I was always sitting there thinking, this is never going to be fair for everybody until we do have a salary cap. I never would say it out loud. But I always think of why can't we have a salary cap like the NFL does, like the NBA does, you know? And until then, you know, the Pittsburghs of the world, the Kansas City Royals of the world, you know, they're going to have good years, but they're not going to be like the Dodgers. They're not going to be like the Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, the Washington Nationals, the Texas Rangers, who every year now are going to have a shot to make the playoffs and win a World Series. And to me, that's where the parity comes in. I just wish it would change. And make the teams more even. I've always said that. So, yeah.
Well, I'll end it with this comment. Steve from Corvallis, Oregon goes, I always enjoy your show, but there's another profession that's right up there that makes as much money as baseball players, and these strippers make as much. I disagree. Baseball players make more than strippers, Steve. That's a story for another day.
Anything and everything on our show, Mark.
Hey, we're coming back. That'll be the turkey trot next week, Steve. Make sure you come up with another comment on that. We'll break that one down as we give away our turkey awards next week. Kip, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, my friend. God almighty, we are tearing it up each and every week. We keep getting better. I think we've set the bar to get past the parity.
Mark, I don't know where this 30 minutes is just so fast. It just goes so quick. I can't even believe it. KipGross.com and BeAGamer@gmail.com. This week, guys, is Thursday is Thanksgiving. I hope everybody has a great turkey day. And I've said this for years and years. It's all about the gravy.
Yeah. I could do without the yams and the cranberry sauce, the stuff in the turkey, and you're right, the gravy on top. Got to be hot. Before I let you go, give me a sure shot, and I'll give you my sure shot.
100% Nebraska this week. I mean, I've said it a few other times. They're actually given points. They're at home. Iowa is not a good offense at all, but they don't give up points. I think the over-under this week is 28 points, believe it or not, on the Nebraska-Iowa game. But it's in Lincoln. Nebraska has a chance to go to a bowl game if they win it. They got the new quarterback in there starting. And, you know, Purdy did really, really good last week. And Nebraska could have won that game. Unfortunately, Matt Rhule didn't call a timeout late in the game, which I think he should have. I'm a huge, huge believer in Matt Rhule at Nebraska, but I think that was a turning game in our league and in our season and for the future. So I'm taking Nebraska and giving the 2 points.
Hey, I'm taking the Seahawks Thursday night. I think anybody can play quarterback with the 49ers. The last couple, Garoppolo fit in there, and he hasn't done nothing with the Raiders. Purdy, just fits the system, and if he goes somewhere, he'll just be like Garoppolo, I think. So I think it's a system in San Francisco. But I like Seattle at home to bounce back after they lost to the Rams. That's my sure shot. For Kip Gross in Arizona, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. We wish you a happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Till then, stay safe, don't drink and drive, and we love you dearly for chiming in. Kip, I love you, brother. Have a great one. Stay safe.
Again, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And again, it's all about the gravy. Don't ever forget that.
Yep.
All right, Mark.